What's up, podcaster or soon-to-be podcaster? Get ready to level up your podcast game because the number one podcast education summit of the year is back, and it's bigger and better than ever. I'm talking about the second annual podcast summit happening on July 4th and 5th in the content creation capital of the world. You already know, ATL, baby. Atlanta, Georgia, going down July 4th and 5th, two full days. Imagine this. Imagine you getting all the game you need to take your voice, your brand, your business to the next level. Imagine getting all the insider tips. Imagine getting all the know-how that you've been craving for the last 2, 3, 4 years where you're talking about you're going to start a podcast, but you haven't yet because you don't have the tools, you don't have the tips, you don't have the tricks. I don't care if you're just starting or you're a seasoned pro. This summit has something for everyone. Picture you mastering the basics of setting up your podcast or unlocking the secrets to grow your brand on social media. We're not just talking about podcasting here. I'm talking about you want to build a long form catalog, whether it's skits, movies. We got people talking about script writing. This is an incredible experience. Imagine discovering the art of securing these lucrative sponsorship deals. And that's not all. Learn the ropes of creating a pitch deck that has sponsors knocking down your door. But wait. There's more. This isn't just a summit. This is an experience. I'm telling you. Rub shoulders with industry leaders. And you got to network with the other people that are doing what you're doing. All the guests that have ever been on Social Proof Podcast, I'm giving them a free ticket. And in exchange, they promise me that they're going to sit down and do short interviews with you. We got podcast booths for our VIP members where you can sit down, pull somebody to a side, and you're going to create content in real time. I know what you're thinking. How do I get a part of this podcasting paradise? Well, it's simple. All you have to do is head over to podcastsummit.com, grab your tickets now, but hold on, because I have something really, really special for you. I got a little treat for my early birds, people who take action. The next 20 listeners and only 20 listeners who get your tickets right now, okay? I'm not only going to give you 20% off of whatever ticket level you get 20% off, but if you use the promo code BIGDEAL, it'll take 20% off immediately, but I'm also going to allow the first 20 people listening to this right now to be able to bring a friend, bring a teammate, bring a partner for absolutely free. You get general admission, they get general admission. You get VIP, they get VIP. Whatever ticket level you purchase, you get to bring a friend, partner, colleague, boo thing for absolutely free. Nothing extra required. My team's going to reach out to you, get your partner's name, or if you don't have the person you no, right now, yet, you got time, no pressure, you get us back. But use that code BIGDEAL, that triggers to let us know you get to bring someone for free. So don't wait. So secure your spot at the number one podcast education summit in the country. Join us July 4th and 5th in Atlanta. Let's turn your podcast dreams into a reality, y'all. Head over to podcastsummit.com. Use promo code Big Deal at checkout and get your tickets now. Don't miss out on the opportunity to take your podcast to new heights, take your brand to new heights, take your business to new heights with this unprecedented offer, okay? I'll see you at the summit. And don't forget to use promo code Big Deal. Welcome to another edition of the Social Proof Podcast. We find dope people, amazing people who do amazing things in the world, especially in the entrepreneurial realm. And I only like having entrepreneurship conversations on the podcast because I'm an entrepreneur and I know how important entrepreneurship is. Entrepreneurship saved my life, not from a perspective of making more money, but personal development, what it takes to build something massive. And today, we have a very, very special guest, a brother who is who has been building a business pre-pandemic first, okay? Also, a community leader. And when I say a community leader, I truly mean a leader of a community. Someone who is an influencer. And I'm not talking about a follower count, but someone, when they say something, people respond. Also, took in investor money from some very, very high level investors. So he knows how to raise the money, get the money, and build a community, man. We got Brother Will Toms in the building. What's up, my brother?
Let's go, yo. First off, I appreciate that introduction, man.
It was good, right?
That was a good job.
Yeah, man.
Thank you, man. I'm feeling good, man. I'm excited to be here to talk to you.
Yeah, bro. So you started Rec Philly.
Yep.
And okay, for those that don't know, Tell me what Rec Philly is. First off, how do you introduce yourself? If I'm like, yo, what's up, David? I'm a podcaster. How do you introduce yourself?
Yeah, I usually tell people I'm an entrepreneur, I'm an author, I'm a speaker, and most notably, the co-founder of Rec. Mm. You know? And I always say Rec at this point because it's Rec. We're known as Rec Philly in Philadelphia, but you know, we're building in other cities as well, you know, so going on very soon to be opening Rec Miami. And the vision, you know, that God gave us is to be able to expand to cities around the country and eventually the world. But I'm an entrepreneur, man. That's what I do. I'm an entrepreneur, community builder, you know.
So Got it. Okay. So Rec. So did you trademark Rec?
We have a couple trademarks. Rec Philly for certain. Some of the other cities to follow as well. Got it. Right. Okay. I had to kind of get ahead of it. And also resources for every creator.
Okay. So that's what Rec stands for. Resources for every creator. Right. Okay. So right now you have how many members in your community?
Over 1,000, about 1,000 active members.
About 1,000 active members. Mm-hmm. So with 1,000 active members, so what is the price point?
There's an onboarding fee of a couple $100 and then it's $99 a month.
$99 a month.
Yep.
I just want to tell you have the most beautiful business model.
Ah, thank you.
That I've seen. And I want to ask for your permission of helping me build it out.
I would love to.
Oh, thank you.
I would love to do that.
Thank you. But that conversation I had when we were in Philly and you started explaining what it is, I said, bruh, how, what?
Yeah.
So explain the model where obviously it's a 7-figure business, but explain the model that you operate with.
Yeah. So look, before I explain the model, I want to say like the purpose, right? Mm-hmm. You know, for me being from Philly, I personally believe that we have what I think is some of the most talented, incredible creative people on the planet, mm-hmm. right? And the challenge when I was coming up, right? I come from writing poetry and then doing videography and then kind of pseudo managing some of my creative friends, mm-hmm. right? While doing that, I learned how difficult it was for creative people who had a gift to really understand how to build a successful business around that mm-hmm. talent. So what would happen is over time, when we're just throwing shows and open mics, trying to give people a platform, a lot of our favorite artists kept believing this narrative, especially back in 2012, 2013. They believed in the narrative that they had no other choice but to move to New York or LA, and nowadays Atlanta, mm-hmm. to be successful, right?
Yeah.
And from my background, and we can get more into that in a bit, but like I grew up in this digital space. And I even, you know, I'm a classically trained marketer. I was in the agency world doing digital strategy for some of the biggest entertainment brands in the world.
Classically trained marketer?
Yeah, in the sense that like, and not like Madi style, right? But for me, like I was working at a marketing agency mm-hmm. doing campaigns for Eminem, for Ice Cube, for Shady Records. Mm. So they're really teaching me what high level digital strategy and brand building look like. And what's important about that is, you know, I had some very successful campaigns that helped me understand direct to consumer in a way that I couldn't unsee. Yeah. And I was like, yo, I'm making millionaires more millions, when really I could teach these exact same strategies to my homies and they can go from zero to $60,000 this year.
Yeah.
But then what I realized was like, yo, all right, if they're gonna be able to do this, especially as black and brown creatives, we're gonna need a certain amenity set to compete at the highest level.
Yeah.
We need access to the cameras, to the lights, right? To, you know, all of the creative tools. But then also for real, what we need more than that is actual education to know what it looks like to build a direct to consumer business around our talent.
Yeah.
And then also we need access to like-minded people, right? People that we could be in community with who are going in the same direction that we can connect with each other. Yeah. Because that's what I learned why people kept feeling like they had to go to New York or LA. It was, oh, well, that's where the resources are. Mm-hmm. That's where the people who can help me monetize are, you know, and that's where like the serious creators are.
Yeah.
But I'm like, yo, but there's so many of us that are here that keep moving. If we could build something where we're from, it could really change not only our own lives, but the future of how we think about our city creatively, and more importantly, like as a creative economy.
Yeah.
So that's where the whole model for Rec came from. It was to fill that need.
Yeah.
So what Rec looks like today as a model is it's a two-part business. One side is a membership club for creatives. So they can pay as low as $99 a month, get access to a multi-million dollar creative facility, 14 private studios from recording studios, podcast studios, photography studios, design studios, editing stations, all sorts of gear and rentals. But then we also have a Live Nation venue, right? For folks to be able to throw parties, events. We do all sorts of educational workshops. But But then the other side of the model, which I think really makes it special, is we realize, yeah, we have all this amazing creative talent. We built a creative agency. So now we get to work with some of the biggest brands in the world, from the Googles to Urban Outfitters to Comcast to Red Bull. They hire us to do marketing campaigns. So when we get those contracts, we then go right back into our membership and we hire our creatives to get paid to do what they love and help us fulfill that work.
Okay, hold on.
Yeah, it's a lot there.
Yeah, okay, so I want to deal with both. You want a seat at the table, but what if you want a seat at an award show, a seat at Fashion Week, or a seat with the board of directors for a cause that excites you, a career that puts you in the driver's seat where your passions become your purpose? Do you love the world of music, the excitement of high fashion? Or perhaps you're driven by a desire to make a difference. No matter your passion, accountants are helping to lead the way to keep the music playing, the runways alive, and communities thriving. Imagine being an accountant, working in the music industry, working closely with your favorite artists on their financial strategies. Or picture yourself as an accountant working in fashion, an essential part of the production process, helping designers thrive. Or how about an accountant working with nonprofits, impacting the community by guiding fiscal decisions? Well, Deloitte's Making Accounting Diverse and Equitable, or MADE, M-A-D-E, is here to help you seize that seat. They're redefining accounting, especially for high school and college students, with a core focus on making a difference. If you're on the hunt for a career where your passions meet potential, take a moment to visit Deloitte MADE's website at DeloitteMADE.com. DeloitteMADE.com. Wherever important decisions are being made, accountants are helping to lead the way. The future of accounting starts with you. Parts for right now. One is...
And real quick, when you ask me, you're like, yo, will I help support you in building out the model? I hope that this podcast helps everyone listening who's like, yo, I'm a creative where I'm from. I also want to build something like that. Hopefully this could be the start for them to do that too.
Yeah, and first off, I think that's so dope too, because there's so many people who don't want to give out the information.
Yeah.
And like that's almost whack. As a creator, if you're doing something well, someone's going to want to model your model.
For sure. Right?
And you can't get mad at it because it's a good idea. Nobody wants to copy a bad idea.
Right.
So I get that stuff all the time. Somebody sends me something, hey, they're doing the same thing you're doing. I'm like, yo, that's amazing.
As they should.
That's what's up.
And I'll just be flat out. Like, one, I believe that creatives all over the world need this.
Yeah.
So I'd be super selfish to be like, just me, I gotta do it by myself.
Yeah.
Our whole thing at Rec is independent doesn't mean alone.
Yeah.
Right. So for me, it's about, let me help empower the people in other cities who want to do it. And then selfishly, I believe that at a certain point, if they're doing it well, we'll have an opportunity to partner later, right? To really build this interdependent community.
You know? I agree. Okay, let's start with the membership model. So you have 14 studios.
Yep.
And I know you have one even music recording studio, right?
Four recording studios.
You have four. Okay. Yeah. I saw the one.
We in Philly, so.
Okay, gotcha. So four music
studio
recording facilities.
Yep.
And the rest are just different designs of different creator rooms, right?
Yeah,
for podcasting and all that kind of
stuff. Exactly, yep.
Okay. This is what I couldn't get over. $100 a month.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. To get access. So walk me through what this 100 gets.
Yeah, so the way it works for us is, again, there is now an onboarding fee, right? Yeah. Just to make sure people are serious.
How much is the onboarding fee?
$200.
Okay.
And then once you do that, it's $99 a month from there. That gets you access to unlimited co-working. So you can pull up anytime you want, get Wi-Fi, get your work done. All of our events, free for members as well. So we don't gatekeep none of the education on that front. So literally we're bringing in industry experts, Troy Carter of the world, Don Cannons of the world. They come in, give us the game. And then also you get an allotment of what we call credits. Credits are how you book time in the private studios, right? Just as a way so we can manage the whole, the calendar. So you get access to our app. We built an app. It's called Join Rec. It's on the App Store, Join Rec. The Rec app is really your key to the whole kingdom, right? So you'll see all the calendars that are available, and then you use those credits. Just go on, if you have enough credits, book the time, and it just makes it super efficient, right? Yeah. So you get access to all the studios. So you get a few hours a month in each of the
studios. How many hours?
So like for the basic package of like 8 credits a month, that could be 8 hours in a collaboration room, or that could be 4 hours in a recording studio.
So, okay.
because there's
$100 a month.
Yep.
Get you 8 hours.
Yep.
In these rooms.
In certain rooms, yeah, because some are more cost more credits than others.
Okay, gotcha. So the creators rooms are 1 hour per credit.
That's right.
The studios, music studios, are two hours.
It could be two credits per hour, and then we have a really, really, really nice one. Lots of, you know, expensive equipment. That was 3 credits per hour.
Okay, got you. So let's say the 2 credits per hour, meaning I can go into the studio and have a 4 hour session for $100 for the month.
That's right.
100%. That's what blew me away, bro.
Yeah, because in Philly, and I'm sure it's probably similar in other places, but in Philly, if you go to a certain recording studio, you're probably going to pay 80, 90, 100 bucks an hour.
100%.
Right? So for us, we wanted to flip that model, you know, because the reality is there's a lot of studios that folks either go to or people will invest the same $2,000 to get that same little Scarlett interface, yeah, right, in the microphone. And I always told my homies, I'm like, look, y'all all invested the same $2,000, got the same equipment that you're probably only using 10% of the time.
Yeah.
So what would it look like if we all pitched up our money together, tapped into this idea of resource sharing, and we could all have access to the thing when we wanted? And because we pitched our money up, instead of that little $2,000 setup, we could have a multi-million dollar facility. So for me, man, when I think about the model and where it came from, I was inspired by Ubers of the world.
Yeah.
Right? Fastest growing transportation company, owned no cars. Airbnb, fastest growing hospitality company, owned no property, right, in the beginning. So for us, it was like, well, when is resource sharing going to come to the creative space where we could help build the fastest growing brands and entertainment companies and artists and not need to own them to do it? Really by making sure that people had access to what they needed when they needed it.
Yeah, bro. So our model here in this studio, if you're going to like record a podcast, it's like 100 something an hour, right? Okay. And then we give you the microphone and the audio recording, you can just do your thing, you know, the vision. But then I was like, dang, if like when I saw what you were doing, I was like, yo, you are charging $100 for 8 hours and it's really giving the creators the resources that they really need to build something special.
Straight up.
And so me and my partner, Donnie, we bought this building in Atlanta, like 7 minutes from the airport. Thank you so much. So the build out is going to be super expensive, but we had 19 rooms.
Nice.
The original model, and I'm telling you, you changed my whole model. My original model was creator suites where out of the 19 rooms, we'd have 12 people that have their own studio built out. Like you do your own branding, all that kind of stuff, a certain amount of money per month. And the other 7 would be, you know, you can come in and do it. Yeah, but I'm like, bruh, wouldn't this be amazing? Yeah. And how many testimonials would come from those creators who don't have a whole lot of resources but have extreme talent? And I think that's what you did. You changed my whole model.
Yeah, and thank you. You know, I'm glad that you saw it that way. Because look, man, like when I was building the model in the beginning, when you think about like people used to try to compare us to WeWork just because it was like the only thing they could think of when you thought of like co-working or whatever. But the difference is if you were going to do it the way you were thinking, where you're like, oh, 12 dedicated creator studios, one, again, those people are not going to utilize those rooms 24/7, right? Or as long as you're open. But the other thing is like, it just caps the amount of impact that people can have in the space. Because like a WeWork, for example, if they had 10,000 square feet, they could probably only serve like 300 people.
Yeah.
But for our model, 10,000 square feet, we believe we can serve up to 3,000 members.
Okay.
Right.
How many members are actually using the credits? Oh, better question.
Yeah.
How many members don't use the credits at all, but they're still a part of the community?
A lot. A lot. Because again, like, you know, when you think about all the challenges that creators have, one of them is just, one, entrepreneurship is lonely.
Yeah.
Right? So sometimes it's just being around other creative people to remind you that you can. You know what I mean? They want to pop up to the events and socialize, but they're not even at a point where they're ready to consistently be creating. You know, and that's fine. But then also just think about it like a gym membership, right? I think sometimes it clicks for people when I say rec is like a gym membership for creative people.
Yeah.
Right. But instead of treadmills, we got podcast studios.
Yeah, for sure.
I think they say the data is only 18% of people who have a gym membership actually go each month, right?
10%?
18%.
18%. That's gracious.
So for us, we think about it and I'm like, no, how do we get everyone in here, right? But then I realize that like, yo, everyone has, they're at a different part of their path and part of their journey. And that's a part of how the whole thing can be really sustainable and scalable. because there are people who get different value from it, and I got to let that be cool.
Yeah. Wow. And if you're listening to this, man, share this with five people. Share this out with five people. This is a very, very important conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. So you got the rooms.
Yep.
And the rooms automatically come with equipment? Because you got the room, you don't need no equipment.
Right. So the rooms are pretty much like the baseline of what you need. Mm-hmm. But then we also have a whole equipment center. So we've got probably about $800,000 of gear from like all the latest cameras, the microphones. We've got gimbals, tripods, lighting, lenses. And then you literally can just go and reserve that equipment and then mm-hmm. just bring it into your session.
Is it a cost?
95% of that stuff is no extra cost to use. You can just use it in the space. Yeah. And then there's, you know, high value equipment that we just charge a couple credits for you.
Like what?
So for example, if you use like the big Sony cinema camera, mm-hmm. that's going to charge you an extra credit. If you use like a really nice ribbon microphone, mm-hmm. like beyond the condensers and things like that, that's going to cost you an extra credit. And it's more than most are just so you're extra mindful, right, with that equipment.
Yeah.
But that's it, man. Again, it's like we really care about empowering creatives. So we're not trying to nickel and dime you. And again, you have to think about it this way.
This is blowing me, bro. To rent the equipment is more than $100.
Oh, for sure.
And it just comes with it. Like,
yeah. When I tell people, like, when people are thinking about getting a membership, I look them in the eye and I'm like, for real, I know you're thinking about the money right now, but my challenge to you is like, could you afford to not be a rec member when you really understand all the value here? And I like that. I like that proposition, you know? But anyway, the reason why a lot of these things are the way they are is because the challenge for most creatives when they're first starting is they really don't understand how to monetize right away. So if you have to think about spending money every time you want to create, it slows down your process. And sometimes that's what kills people. So I wanted to remove that. So the idea of just set it and forget it, pay your monthly membership, and then anytime you want to create, you can just come and pull up. It just creates more flow in your process and less ideas die, you know, on the cutting room floor.
There's a lot of things you can do with $500. I mean, you can have a night out with your significant other. You could buy some really expensive shoes. Well, really nice shoes are about double $500. You could buy a course or you can learn something for $500. But I have something better for you to do with the $500. I want to meet with you every single morning for the rest of your life. Well, maybe not the rest of your life, but every morning, Monday through Friday, for the rest of the year. I have information and game that have allowed me to build a successful business, a successful community, and a successful life all the way around. But I want to share that with you. But the only way we can accomplish this is not me selling you a course, not me giving you a one-on-one consultation, because even with that, you'll get the information, but you'll need more. I want to meet with you every single morning. Now, would I meet with someone every morning for $500 for a year? And the answer is yes. Actually, we've been doing this thing since 2017. We have what's called the morning meetup. Every single month, we have a theme, whether it's social media, whether it's motivation, whether it's strategy, whatever it is, we have a theme for the month. And every morning in that month, we have a conversation around that topic. And I am giving a wealth of knowledge, not only myself, but a lot of friends, a lot of people that you see on this podcast, they join every single week. So you need a community of people that you can grow with, and you need a coach. I'm your coach. The Morning Meetup is your community. Go to themorningmeetup.com. It's $499, and I will meet you every single morning for an entire year. Give it a shot.
Wow, bruh. This is... Okay. You give them the equipment. So the cameras, they can set up their own cameras. It costs them no extra credits, no money or nothing.
That's right.
So I'm going to do a 3-person shoot. I need 4 cameras, 4 microphones. You just go get it from there.
That's right.
What happens if they break it?
I mean, your credit card is on file. So like if it's negligent, then you know, you're on the hook for that. But to be honest with you, man, we've had almost no incidents of negligence, right? Of course, there's wear and tear. There's accidents that happen. But people really respect our space, man.
Yeah.
And they respect the community. So, like, we don't see a lot of that riffraff that you would expect when you hand $20,000 worth of gear to a young creative just because they really, really respect what we're doing.
This is insane, bro.
Yeah.
What about, okay, I'm a creator. I want to create content. Okay, you got the camera, mic. I don't know how to use it. Do you have a service where you can?
That's right. Yeah, so we knew that right off rip. It's like, yo, we can't just give people this gear and not give them any sort of direction. So what we do is we do all sorts of educational programming, and we certify people to use some of the top pieces of equipment. Mm-hmm. So for example, there's one studio in our space, you know, it's got this incredible soundboard. If you don't know how to use that board, you're not gonna get the most value out of that room. Mm-hmm. So when you first sign up as a member, that's the one studio that's actually not gonna show up on the app for you. It shows up on the app once you come to the certification program. We do it every 2 weeks. Mm. A member of our team will train you on how to use this $60,000 board. And then once you then learn and then show us that you can use it, we certify you, and then it pops up and then you can use it. And then same thing goes for like top lighting equipment. We give you an opportunity to come and learn from experts on how to do a 3-point lighting setup, how to create more creative setups as well. So literally people are coming in and they're getting certified on these skills that then they can go right back into the marketplace and then be able to charge people to do, right? So we have engineers who are probably like the most grateful members, because you walk in as an engineer, knowing that we have hundreds of recording artists, mm-hmm. you now can build your business on top of Rec, because clients are always coming in, they're looking for engineers to work with, and now we just connect them to you, and you're making money and doing your thing.
Oh my gosh. This is insane.
It's special,
this
man.
This is probably the most beautiful business model I've ever seen in my life, bro.
And we're not even talking about the future of the model, which we could talk about.
Yeah, we're going to get into that. But you're going to be a billionaire, bro. Like, I hope you understand.
God is good.
I hope you understand that.
God is good.
All right. So that's one. But you don't have any other services for the members? Like, I don't want to learn it. Do you have a team of people that can come shoot this for me?
Yes, but we tend to not do that as often as you think. And here's why. I started as a videographer, right? Running around shooting music videos for people. Mm-hmm. And a part of the reason why I knew education was so important, because I'm running around charging people $500 for a music video, which is crazy, mm-hmm. and people couldn't afford it. So for me, I knew I couldn't build an agency off of serving early artists, like early mm-hmm. creators in the journey. Somebody like you come through, yeah, we got the full works. We can mm-hmm. have an agency team set you up. But I'm more excited to connect members to each other for those types of services. Our clients as an agency, again, are Google, Comcast, right? Like yeah. Red Bull, the people who have larger budgets. Because that allows us to just have more activity of commerce happening between the members, which again, if I'm a member paying $100 a month, but I'm connecting to so many other creators doing business, I'm making way more money from the Rec ecosystem than I'm paying. Yeah. And it just keeps the model going. Everyone's happy.
I love this.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So that is one side of the business.
Yeah.
The other side is marketing for larger companies, because yep. you already have this built-in audience of people.
Yep. A built-in audience, and not only a built-in audience of people, but a built-in audience of the most influential people, right? Because these are all creatives yeah. who are all building their own audiences, building their own trust, right? Who are consistently creating content, right? It's ridiculous.
I love it. Yeah. All right. So I want to get into like how you started, but I'm just so interested yeah. in this model. Okay. you built this company. Okay. Let's go back. First of all, what was you doing before you even started this?
Yeah. So before I built Rec full time, I was working at a marketing agency. Mm-hmm. So I'll tell you this way.
How old are you now?
I'm 32.
32. Yep. And dang, you're younger than me and smarter than me.
Oh, stop it.
And richer than me, I believe, for sure. All right. So you built out. Okay. So tell me how you started. Okay. You were working at an agency.
Yeah. So even before that, before I got recruited to work at the agency, I was my co-founder, Dave, and I, we built a production company mm-hmm. called Broad Street Music Group. And we were just running around throwing shows, open mics around the city. At one point, bro, we were throwing 5 shows a week in Philly. All different types of genres, and really just trying to create spaces for creatives. Mm. And what started to happen is 2 things. One, we realized that like we would get some dive bar lit on a Tuesday night and that would go well. But then over time, that venue owner would be like, we double booked, right? All this weird stuff of yeah. really, they just didn't want to,
they had the traffic already.
Yeah. And they didn't want to sit in there for forever. So that was happening, but we were selling out these events. during that time, I got recruited to work at a marketing agency. And they were like, look, you guys are clearly doing something right. You clearly know marketing to some degree, but we want to bring you in and really give you a client roster and teach you like real.
It's so important that Black voices are represented in Black media for so many different reasons. And the next generation of Black voices and influencers from Black voices can be found on NPR's new collection, Black Stories, Black Truths. Black Stories, Black Truths is a celebration of Blackness from NPR. Each of NPR's Black voices are as distinct, varied, and nuanced as the Black experience itself. In the Black Stories, Black Truths collections, you'll hear stories of joy, resilience, empowerment, and creating world-shifting things out of struggle. And every episode is a living account about what it means to be Black today, told from a unique Black perspective. From Bobby Smurda to The Wire, Michelle Obama to reparations, there's no limit to the range of Black Stories, Black Truths. I listen and I'm enjoying these conversations that are for us, by us. Black representation, again, it hasn't always been shared from our perspective. And Black perspectives haven't been censored in the telling of America's story. Now they are the story. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, you'll find a collection of some of NPR's best podcast episodes celebrating the Black experience. Hear a feed of episodes from across NPR's podcasts that center Black voices. It's NPR Noir. Turn on NPR today and hear a range of voices as very nuanced and Black as the country we reflect. Stories should never be about us without us. Listen to the Black Stories, Black Truths on NPR, wherever you get podcasts. All right, let's do some quick math. The less your business spends on operations, on multiple systems, on delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you can keep. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. So to reduce costs and headache, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, HR into one platform and one source of truth. With NetSuite, you reduce IT costs because NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required. Access from anywhere. You cut the cost of maintaining multiple systems because you've got one unified business management suite. It just makes sense. You improve efficiency by bringing all your major business processes into one platform, slashing manual tasks and errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. So do the math. See how you'll profit from NetSuite? I know you see it. Listen to me. If you have everything scattered in business, you cannot grow. And everything is more expensive when you have more and more processes layered on top of each other, more and more softwares. You got to get out of that. And it will improve efficiency and cut costs. By popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/socialproof. That's netsuite.com/socialproof. netsuite.com/socialproof.
Classic, what it looks like to do it right. So I got to walk into Fame House, is what it was called, founded by a couple guys that went to Drexel. And they say, yo, we got these clients. And again, walked into Shady Records, Ice Cube, Eminem, Live Miami, one of the top clubs in Miami. And my job was to do digital strategy for them. So literally I'm creating the social media strategies to help them build revenue online. So for example, they'd be like, yo, this quarter we need to make an additional $400,000 for Eminem, but you can't use any of Marshall Mathers' time. Right. So I can't be like, hey, make a video. And no. So all I really had was the understanding of the brand.
Yeah.
Right. How do I understand how to leverage and create campaigns that was going to truly resonate with the people who love this brand and get creative enough to drive those business goals? And that's when everything clicked, because I'm like, yo, I get it now. You know, for example, you ever see the movie Straight Outta Compton?
Yeah.
Very successful movie. And before that film came out, people were posting Straight Out of Philly, Straight Out of Jersey. Yeah, you've seen that? Yeah. So that was a marketing campaign that I worked on at Fame House, right? And that movie went on to break all these box office records.
Yeah, right? That was huge, bro. You've seen the shirts everywhere.
Bro, if I got a dollar for every time I seen that shirt on the street. Yeah, but that's not how the agency model works. So I didn't, right? But anyway, so that's what I was doing at that time. So I'm just deeply in digital, bro. Like, just understanding how that all went. And yeah, man, I had that kind of like crisis moment of like, yo, they tried to give me another client, you know, promote me. And I was like, yo, like, I'm actually good where I'm at because I'm working for y'all 8 to 5 and then going home, and from 6 to 2 a.m. me and my boy Dave is running it up, throwing these shows, throwing these concerts. And you know, no owner of a company wants to hear someone say they don't want to get promoted and like they're fine with their workload.
And
I had to make that real leap, and I said, yo, like, I'm giving them my best hours when really God has already given me a vision for this next thing. So then I jumped ship and built Rec full time.
You jumped ship with savings? You had savings?
Not really. No.
So how was you intending to?
Let's talk about this, bro. Because look, I'm not the person I used to be, but I'm no longer the person that's telling other people, yo, just jump out the window and go. But man, I had such a deep level of faith and conviction, you know, that what we were doing was gonna work. So what I did was, again, I'm working an amazing job, right, in the industry. Did not graduate college at this time. I actually dropped out. But I'm in this amazing job. And I said, look, if I'm gonna make this work, I'm literally going to lower my expenses as much as I can. So I had a crib, gave it up, and I literally found this warehouse in North Philly. Ninth and Dolphin, for anyone who's from the area.
First off, North Philly.
North.
Think about the toughest part of your city.
Yeah.
That's North Philly for Philadelphia. And Philadelphia as a city is a tough city.
That's a fact.
Yeah.
And the level of belief I had, man, I moved into this warehouse. I found this warehouse that they didn't really care about nothing as long as you paid the rent on time. But I was certainly not supposed to be living there. But me and my homie, shout out to my boy Leonzo, we moved into that warehouse, bro. And we're thugging it out, you know, splitting very, very low rent. And we just...
You moved into the warehouse.
Yep.
Did they have a shower there?
Yeah, but it was nasty. So we got those Planet Fitness memberships. So when we need to just get right, go over to the gym, do our little thing, get the shower, you know, we was living.
Nah, bro. Yeah. Really?
That's the level of commitment we had to this thing, bro. Yeah.
Okay. What was this build out? So you have this warehouse.
Yeah.
In North Philly.
Yep.
Nasty bathroom.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You had no joints, bro. Did you? Was your day in at all?
Oh, like, man, bro, I was getting to it. I was wilding too.
I was just staying. No. Let me go to your house. we can't watch movies in my crib. Let's go to yours.
Nah, they were still pulling up. But anyway.
So how was it sectioned off, the warehouse?
All right. So in the very beginning, bro, when we first started, it was literally one room, 600 square feet. Right, so a little bit bigger than this room. One wall, backdrop, because I was still shooting videos at that time. That's how I was making money. So backdrop for me to do photo video work. My homie is a recording artist, so we built a recording studio for him. And then we had a couch, and that was our co-working space. And in the very beginning, bro, that was Rec.
Wow.
And the reality is a lot of artists are coming through to hanging out all the time. No one knew that I was living there, right? Like literally we were sleeping on couches. So it was like, oh, it's mad late. All right, you guys ready to be out? Cool. Everyone leave. All right, now we're sleeping here, right? So that was the model. And in those moments, bro, after we had the epiphany of like what the model should really be, we had 30 founding members who were paying to have access to that one room with a little bit of equipment we had.
How much?
What?
How much were they paying?
At that point, they were paying $34 a month.
Nah.
That's what we launched with, bro. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So we had 30 people paying $34 a month because the rent was super cheap. So it was like, yo, I know rent's going to keep coming. I know the homies is going to keep coming.
Yeah.
So let's just figure out how to make it work. And we would just have a little bit money a month to keep investing in better equipment. And then over the course of the next 3 years, bro, we went from 30 founding members to about 321 members.
Wow. So there was constant traffic.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And then we went from that one room to then we got a second room in Rec, and then they went from the shared room to like now we got a dedicated visual lab, now we have a dedicated recording studio, and before you know it we had 7 rooms in this warehouse. We had pretty much the whole top floor, And that's when we realized, we're like, yo, this is really something. Because mind you, right, we're in this warehouse. It's not sexy. We're walking up 4 flights of stairs to get up there, first and foremost. I don't know how they got away with that, you know, from like an ADA standpoint. No heat, no AC.
What?
Yeah, bro. So if it was hot outside, it was hot inside. You know what I'm saying? Like, and we're just thugging it.
How was y'all doing? I mean, y'all did a little joints in the window?
Yeah, bro. You got the AC units right in the window trying to figure it out. And mind you, bro, like, we're bringing industry experts, like real professionals, to the middle of North Philly with no climate control, bro. Like, we were in there learning from the greatest people, sweating, you know? And at that point, you know, my business partner Dave and I were like, yo, like, clearly there's a need that we're solving, and like, our members deserve a higher level experience. Mm-hmm. And then that's when we were like, yo, let's really do this for real, figure out how to raise some capital and do it right.
Okay, we're stuck. Now we gotta raise capital, which is a conversation I'm very interested in.
Yeah.
What was your first pitch?
Pitch? Or,
no. What was the first model that you're pitching to people saying,
oh yeah,
I need X amount of dollars. Mm-hmm. This is what you're going to get. This is the percentage. What was that looking like?
Yeah. So very early on, you know, we were thinking really small, you know, and instead of really pitching the full vision of Rec, we were like, yo, just Rec Philly. And we know where we are now. We have an opportunity to build out a space in Center City. This is how much money we're going to need. So we were just trying to raise $1 million, you know? And it was like, yo, you invest, you know, $1 million. We're going to give you X percentage of the business, and then we're going to rock. What we realized after getting so many no's is we literally just weren't thinking big enough. Mm-hmm. And the moment that it started to click is when people were like, well, if you could do it here, do you think you could do this other places? Mm-hmm. I was like, well, yeah, like, this isn't just a Philly problem we're solving. This is a problem in cities all around the country, all around the world. So instead of being like, oh, we're going to just raise capital for Rec Philly and then raise capital for the next city, we're like, no. Parent company that's going to own all of the individual cities, allow people an opportunity to participate in that.
Yeah.
Right? Because then it's like, hey, you participate in city one or at city two and then get the upside of cities 30 through 50.
Yeah.
That's actually appetizing to investors. And because
outside of cities 30 through 50.
Yeah, we're going to build 50 of these around the world.
Let's go, man.
It's needed, bro.
It is.
So yeah, man. So when someone helped, gave us that feedback, they were like, look, like, people like me who have the money, right? This is him talking. Yeah. He's like, we're not trying to invest $1 million to get 1.5.
Yeah.
Not worth the time. So when we really started to understand what our power was, switch that up, and then it just opened up the doors.
If you don't mind, you needed $1 million. What was the percentage that you were willing to offer?
At that time?
Yeah.
At that time, we were willing to give up 10%.
10% for $1 million. I'm gonna send you my pitch deck, bro, because I've been trying to explain to people this vision. Mm-hmm. And like, we need 1.5.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
For the build out. We already got the building, yep. But we need it for the build out.
Yep.
And how did you think to value the company at $10 million. Because if for those that are listening, if you are offering 10% of your company for $1 million, that means you're valuing it at $10
million. That's right.
How much revenue was coming in, and how did you come to this valuation?
Yeah, and I'm gonna tell you this. So at the time we raised that, I don't think our revenues really supported what we were raising valuation-wise. For real.
What was you making around that time? 300 members, they were all at the $35?
Yeah,
so most about 10 grand a month?
Most of them. And then also though, like at that time, we did have higher tiers. Mm-hmm. So some people were paying as much as like 150 a month at that time. But then don't forget, honestly, for most of the journey of the company, the agency has really been the moneymaker.
I see.
Right? And we built the agency for two reasons. One, because we needed a mechanism to create opportunities for members to make money. And then two, because we didn't want the life or death of our business to be whether or not creatives were going to pay us or not. Right?
Got it.
So economically, the agency was the driver. But I do know that at scale, that's not going to be true. It is going to be membership that'll be key. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so we're probably making a few hundred thousand dollars of revenue. But here's the thing though. When you're raising at that stage, seed round, I used to think that we were actually getting people to invest in the business, right? Like, hey, invest in this model, invest in like the company. No, man, when you're raising seed capital, those people are writing checks and they're investing in you.
Yeah.
So for us, it was like we found people who just literally just believed in Dave and I as founders. They believed in the market opportunity, and that's all they needed. Because they're like, look, even the model that you have today is not going to be the model that's actually going to click, you know, 3-4 years down the road. So they were really betting that like we were valued at that, right? And that's how it went down.
How many people gave contributions to this $1 million, or was it one guy that said, here's $1 million?
Nah, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't that. So we had at that time, shout out to our guy Steve. He led the round. He put half of it up.
Okay, so he put up 500,000.
500,000.
He believed in you.
Certainly.
So 500,000 for 5%.
That's essentially good. Right. And then a bunch of small checks. Mm-hmm. So like there were a bunch of people who were contributing 50,000, 75,000. You know, someone put up, I think, 100,000 in that first round, but then all the rest were super small. Like, we even got to the point where, like, and I'm really proud of this, we had a really early rec member who was a photographer who started ringing off and doing super well. He got to put in 10K, right? And I'm really proud of that because I know what the valuation has grown to at this point. And I know that he's up, you know? And I'm excited for when we really grow and then have an exit, what that 10K will turn into for him.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, if it's, you know, like the 1%, and let's say, for instance, y'all sell for 300 million. Mm-hmm. He's up $3 million.
He's up.
A photographer that was in the right place at the right time.
That's right. So a lot of people came together to do that first round.
Hold on real quick. I'm so sorry. Yeah. How did you manage all that though? In making sure that everybody got their payout and all, you know what I mean? Like, so.
Yeah. I mean, so one of the things that both Dave and I are really good at is we know what we know, and we also are not ashamed of going to find people who know way more than we know in other realms. So yeah, we got great lawyers who help manage the raise. So that way everyone just, you know, gets their thing, get their equity in proper formats.
Does it come with a payout as the business grows, or is it only off the sale?
No, it's off of what they call in an exit. So whether we go public or we sell the business, we're telling people off rip, like, don't be thinking this is going to be, it's not like a real estate play where every month we're going to pay you out a dividend or something like that. Like, no. Like, this is a startup, and startups, you know, they're built on an exit, you know?
I need to look at my investor deck to make sure I'm not giving away because I'm thinking I want people to, let me find this joint.
But while you find that, like, again, when we were thinking small in the beginning, we were telling people, yo, you put your money in and in a certain amount of time, we'll be able to pay you out a little bit every year.
Right.
But that's not the appetizing deal for people who are solving really solving big problems and disrupting industries.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, yo, no, we believe that we can grow this to be a huge thing. And we only want people on the cap table who believe that vision and want to ride it out to help us get there.
That's strong, bro. Okay, we're raising this money and you get $1 million. The $1 million, what'd you do with it?
So that $1 million supported us from going from 9th and Dolphin in North Philly to opening our facility in Center City that you saw.
Yeah. The old gallery, for those that are familiar.
Yeah, the old gallery, which was also just beautiful for me as a kid who...
It's incredible, bro.
I grew up going down to this mall, doing a lot of window shopping, buying dog tags, airbrush tees, you know? And as creatives, a lot of us just hung out there, you know, even if we didn't have the money to spend. So there was something really beautiful about being able to kind of plant that flag, literally, but also figuratively, of like, creativity will always have a place in the heart of our city. You know, and like, and I also think there's something special where like a lot of us as creatives, we'll make any space what we need it to be.
Yeah.
But when a creative can say, yo, I'm about to go to work and like I'm going downtown, there's a different level of like confidence you can carry and dignity you can carry, instead of being like, yo, I'm going somewhere under the L in a shady warehouse to do my thing. So yeah, it was a blessing to be able to go to the gallery.
That's strong.
But yeah, what we used that money for was building out that space. You know, being able to have some runway to hire staff to really start to do it right. And yeah, and then to grow up from there.
All right. So you, the way I discovered you was they were talking about this building being built in Miami.
Yeah.
And they were saying that Diddy was one of your investors. Or so how did that come about?
Yeah. I mean, the short version is relationship building, man. A bunch of different ways it all came about, but I'll say this, you know, for me, the thing I think that really started the spark was we do a lot of educational programming. Mm-hmm. I had a woman named Lindsay Riebling, who is the head of strategy and insights for Revolt. And I was like, yo, you're brilliant. I love the way you think about data and how you think about the power of culture. I'd love to have you on a panel to talk about that. So she came in to do a panel. And when she did the panel after, she was just so blown away by like how excited our community was, and just like really starting to understand the whole rec thing. Because again, it's one thing to see the website, but it's different when you're like in it.
Yeah.
So she saw it and was like, this is nuts. She goes, you have to know Tariq. And I'm like, great, who's Tariq? And what I later found out is Tariq Brooks, you know, is the president of Combs Global, right? So all of the businesses, you know, that Puff runs, Ciroc, De Leon, you know, Revolt, you know, all those at that time. And he turns out he's from Southwest Philly, right? So we hit it off immediately. He's like, yo, in the gallery, this is crazy. And then he's like, but more importantly, he's like, yo, Puff has always had a vision to build a creative space. You know what I mean? And he wants to be able to walk around and like be able to connect with, you know, the most innovative creators and things like this. And he goes, yo, will you consult us on building out our space?
Did you consult on the one in Atlanta?
Wait, what?
They have a Revolt studio.
Oh, the Revolt studio? No. Yeah. Okay, no. They were already doing that. Okay. But again, more of like what we're doing. Because the Revolt is like, that's Revolt, right? Versus like, hey, this is a space for creators to come in.
Got it.
So they were like, yo, will you consult us? And we were like, no, but you guys can invest in what we're doing and we can both move faster.
Yeah.
Right? So then due diligence starts, which took forever.
Due diligence for them checking out your company.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So they're literally, you know, asking all the questions, and it took a long time. And a part of that is because at that time they had never written as big of a check that they had written in a business that they weren't going to get any like majority stake in.
Yeah.
But we ended up getting the deal done, which was a blessing. And when I tell you, bro, like fundraising is so wild because you really have to like share it all with people, right? For them to be confident enough to give you $2 million, right? Yeah. And at one point, me and Dave got nervous. We're like, we didn't opened up all the books. We didn't show them all the plans, all the strategies. Like, he got enough bread that he could just take this thing and 100%. Do it. You know what I'm saying? But again, when you're early in your business, they're not just banking on the model. They're banking on you as the jockey of the horse. Yeah. So we ended up getting that deal done, which was a blessing. And yeah, so behind that, you know, really got to hit the gas on the Rec Miami play.
They made it public how much the investment was, right?
Yeah, it was like $2 million,
right?
Yeah, it was
okay,
$2 million.
Cool.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
And that was our second time raising capital, our second round.
The first round was the first million to get into the gallery, right? There's the second time where you say, okay, I want
to go to other cities.
So you were already thinking, let me go to another city.
Yes.
Did he invest the $2 million to go to Miami specifically? Because he lives there, right?
Yeah, he lives there. Yeah. So it was about like, hey, we're going to expand this thing, yes. And he was also like, I would really like for the next city to be Miami.
Yeah. So where did the $2 million go into build? Because y'all built it from the ground up, right?
Yeah. Well, the building existed. The shell of the building was there. But like literally we gut buildings entirely. Because it's a very nuanced build to build 14 studios.
For sure.
Right? All on top of each other. Have them like integrous, like as far as like sound and acoustics. Yeah. So we bought the shell. We got the shell of the building. Right? You're saying it.
Golly.
You know, we're floating floors, dropping ceilings, doubling, tripling walls. Then you think about ADA compliance. It's a lot. The building existed. But it was about, okay, now let's develop it out, right? FF&E, furniture, equipment, and all that.
Buy the building or lease the building?
So our model, we do long-term leases.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's just a strategy thing. I don't want to invest all that. I'm not a real estate company. In that form. So I didn't want to go and we don't want to buy all these buildings right away. Eventually we probably will. But we do long-term leases with our landlords, right? And so for example, just to give you another kind of peek into it, when we came to the gallery, they gave us over $1 million to come there.
What?
Yeah.
So you got $1 million from the investors to build it out, but then the gallery gives you $1 million to build it out.
That's right.
But I guess the gallery's on decline, I'd imagine. They want to bring in these.
And now it's called the Fashion District, right? Because they know that one, like malls are not on the up, right? Because the Fashion District is a mall in Philly. So they know that it really thrives on these like third places, right? So they were like, look, we need something that's going to help bring in young energy consistently that doesn't live or die on retail. Mm-hmm. We would love for something to be like homegrown, right? So it just made sense. And they knew that at that time that we also, you know, if it wasn't there, we were going to go build somewhere else. So they were like, nah, we want it to be here. So they ended up giving us, capital up front to make it make sense for us.
Gave it to you or loaned it to you?
So it's you know, they call it tenant improvement dollars, right? Mm-hmm. So like they're giving it to us up front to do what we need to do, but they only do it because they know on the back end of a long-term lease,
they'll be paying the rent.
Yeah, we'll pay the rent and they'll get it back.
Got it. Okay.
So then in Miami, you know, we got a much, much better deal than that even.
Really?
Us to go to the building that we went to, yeah.
So the building that you're building out right now gave you the money to build out the way you wanted it built.
Right.
Incredible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't really need, it wasn't like, I'm thinking you take the $2 million from Diddy and he gives you like the $2 million to go into the building, but you didn't need it to go into the building.
Nah.
You was able to just pocket it because you built an amazing company.
Yeah. And you know, because we
wanted. That's hard. Yeah, I like it. I like it.
Yeah,
I
we
like
wanted
it.
More runway. We wanted to hire more staff. We wanted to invest in our app, which is the future of the business. So all of those things were with the $2 million.
You say the app is the future of the business. What do you mean?
Yeah.
I want to understand.
Yeah.
I had a conversation last night. This guy was telling me how his company is valued at 140 $40 million and he's looking to go on a campaign now of awareness because he wants to exit for $250 million. And I was thinking to my, and I, this is what I said to him. I said, I don't know if I have something that someone would buy for $250 million. And he looked at me and he said, technology.
That's it. And my homies will tell you, like, when I was running around just the creative space back in 2015, 2016, there were people who were further ahead than us in like throwing events and all that stuff. My homie Yusef, he was just saying this to me the other day. He's like, bro, you guys, meaning me and Dave, he's like, you guys were the first people to be like, yo, all this like entertainment stuff is cool, but like tech though, that's what we're really doing. But so yeah, underneath it all, you know, Rec is a tech company. You know, so our app that we've been spending more money than I want to talk about to invest in is the future of the business. Because like when we talk about all these creatives that are transacting in our community right now, eventually they're going to do that on our app.
Right. It's a marketplace. Remember you were saying when I talked to you, it was like, man, I wish I'd maybe went a different way. And I was like, well, I have one with Mighty Networks, but it's kind of trash. So,
and that makes me, it makes me feel better to hear you say that. But yeah, I wish I would have gone a different way just because like, I think we started building the technology earlier than we needed to. I think I could have held on to some of that capital and just like grew the community even wider and probably even in multiple cities already and then came back and built the technology. But it's fine. I think it all works out the way it needs to. And I have a head start now because our code is already being developed and all that stuff.
Nice. Okay, I gotta ask this. With all the stuff that's going on with Diddy, first of all, did he give you the $2 million up front?
Yeah. Check has been cashed. That check has been cashed.
I was about to say.
That check has been cashed.
Collect the rest of that is going to be, okay.
Nah, that's already,
Oh, that's what's up. Do you ever get to talk to him or?
Yeah, I mean, when we were doing the deal and stuff, you know, a couple times. But like, when you know, when you understand that like, he's a billionaire.
Yeah.
Like, the people that are really doing the due diligence of the deal are far closer to it. So like,
for sure,
my relationship with like Tariq or like Jay Lundy, who's the head of investments there, like those are the people I'm really working with. You know, when I would spend time with Puff, it was just purely like creative to just like build trust and like, okay, cool, you know that I'm the person you're giving this $2 million to. That's it. But I wasn't spending a bunch of time with him. No.
Got it. So where are we at in the construction of it?
Yeah, so we're in construction now. You know, the crazy thing about Miami is just like the permitting process is brutal. But it's moving.
When are we, do you have a project? Because you've been doing it for what, a year or so, 2 years?
Yeah, it's been taking a long time. But right now, I don't give hard dates, but looks like 2025. We'll have
it's looking good. Yeah. Good. So expanded, bro, this is such an impressive model, man. It's such an impressive model for what you're doing. And you're really brilliant, bro.
Oh, thank you, man.
Just on a whole nother level.
Thank you, bro.
Vision for Rec. What is it?
Yeah, the short version of it, man, is I believe that we'll have an opportunity to build 50 of these around the world. You know, I think when people think of the idea of like the starving artist, I think Rec is going to have a really good shot at being a part of dismantling that whole idea. You know, there's no reason why artists should be starving, right?
Yeah.
All of the institutions that artists interface with are not starving. The labels aren't starving. The, you know, galleries are not starving. The art schools who educate the artists are not starving, right? Yeah. So really there's something else at play that makes people feel like the artist needs to starve. And I think for us, when a young creative goes to their parents or their friends and says, yo, I'm going to be a content creator, I'm going to be an artist, I hope that we're a part of the reason why people no longer ask them, what's plan B?
Yeah.
Right. So that's really what the vision is. It's 50 spaces around the world that really are nodes for all of this creative economy for creators to be able to confidently travel the world doing what they love, knowing that there's going to be resources waiting for them on the ground there. There's going to be like-minded people to collaborate there. You know,
the credits travel.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when we open in other cities, like it's going to be one membership still that is good everywhere you go, and those credits are going to be good. Seamless experience.
What are, do you just have the one tier, $100?
Right now, yeah. We just wanted to simplify it. But later, there'll probably be multiple tiers.
If I need more credits, how much is that?
Yeah, you can always buy more credits. And they're pretty inexpensive. So like, you know, you can buy a credit pack of like four, you know, and that's going to cost you like $50, $60 or whatever it is. But then as you go, you know, they get cheaper.
Golly, bro. Yeah. What about if I want to be, I'm a member and I want to do an event at the events base.
Yeah, that's not included in membership, mm-hmm. but we give members really steep discounts for venue gotcha. Rentals.
Goodness. Okay.
Yep.
Bruh.
But yeah. Oh, but the vision. Hold on. But the vision, though. The vision is all these spaces around the world, but you know, also the technology, man. We're building a technology that is going to make sure that, like, literally the resources, the education, and the collaborators that we need as creatives is all going to be in your pocket, right?
Yeah.
So when you think about, you know, the platforms that creators use right now to build their business on, I believe we're going to take that space. And, you know, the same way, like, Uber made it cool for us to get in the car with strangers, even though our parents told us not to, mm-hmm. creatives are going to have the opportunity to collaborate with people all over the world in a trusted way. Because they're all on this rec ecosystem.
You talked about your partner, Dave?
Yeah.
Okay.
My guy.
What was his background?
So Dave, you know, he went to school, studied advertising and entrepreneurship. He's always been super passionate about creating opportunities for creatives, you know, like I have. And when we were building our first company, he was like the booking guy. So like, event production and all of that stuff. And then I was really bringing the media and the content side to it. Mm-hmm. But my guy Dave is a dog. Like, when it comes down to it, he's one of those people that, like, he don't care what it look like, what the role is, but he's gonna get it done. Mm-hmm. You know, so like, I always think of him, I'm like, you're like Dennis Rodman, bro.
Yeah.
Like, Mike don't win them chips without Dennis getting them boards.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm really grateful for him, because our yin and yang is sturdy.
Yeah.
You know.
This was your idea and you brought him on, or y'all came together with the concept?
No, co-founders. So the cool thing is, bro, me and Dave have been homies since high school.
Mm-mm.
You know, so we were running around writing business plans together in high school,
yeah.
and then through college, right? On Skype and Uvu, building business plans and all that kind of stuff. Like, and if you haven't noticed yet, I'm a nerd for real, bro. So we've been doing these things, and we knew in high school that we were going to build some sort of creative business.
Yeah.
We didn't know exactly what it looked like, but we knew we were going to build it. And then our roles, we think of as visionary and integrator.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm the visionary of like, yo, this is what it's going to be like, what it's going to look like, what it should feel like, product, right, led. And he's the integrator, meaning like, okay, cool. What's step 1, 2, and 3? Let me manage the team to get it done, right? And because of that, we have such a really great working relationship.
Yeah.
We know our roles, and we really, you know, make each other better.
So he's not wanting to, he doesn't like to put himself out there. Is he one of those types?
Not or? As much. Yeah, he's super fine being behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And I even have to challenge him more to be like, yo, bro, but like, yo, talk your talk, bro. Like, get on these podcasts, you know? But I'm grateful though, because like, it's really beautiful to have a partner whose ego is in such a place where he's like, I just want to get the work done.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's comfortable for like me to, yo, do what I do best, you know, go talk about it and wave the flag, you know?
Ego is huge, bro. And it breaks apart more relationships than anybody really wants to think about.
It does.
Because it's like, oh, well, Will's on the cover of the magazine.
Yeah, for real.
I did that too.
Mm-hmm.
And hopefully he can, you know, continue to keep that in check. And there's people around the other person that are always looking to pump that person up, saying, nah, yo, bro, you need to be getting a little shine. You
for
need
sure.
to be getting an award, right?
For sure.
So if he can ward that off, I think y'all gonna be.
I agree. And I mean, and look, like, he gets his just due in the sense that, like, you know, we got that Forbes 30 under 30. Mm. We both got Forbes 30 under 30, right? Like, it's like,
for
you know. There's also another element to it, too, where, like, we both know that what I do in the front facing is good for the business.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think at the end of the day, we both just want the business to be successful.
Yeah.
Because honestly, man, there was a time when like I was not as confident to get out here and be having these conversations. Mm-hmm. I'm a builder. So I just wanted to like hide and be like, don't look at me, look at the thing, you know? But as you get older and you recognize like the importance of championing, sales, storytelling and all that stuff, it was like, yo, bro, shed all that, heal so you can grow into your role of what you really need to be for this thing. Because every business requires that.
Yeah. Good segue, bro. Are you single?
Am I single? Yeah.
Like all the way single?
I mean, I'm dating. I just met a young lady, you know.
So oh, her?
Yeah. Okay. So I'm dating, but I'm single. Yeah.
Shouts out to her. Just got met on the app or in the
streets? Nah, I don't do that. Out in the streets. I meet people.
Member?
No.
You'd never date a member?
I don't think I would. Like, you know, but like, nah,
you know,
nah, I wouldn't, just because, the dynamic, just for what I need in a partner, yeah. I don't want someone who's like enamored by all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? Like, so she not even from the city. You know what I'm saying? She,
really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How'd you find her?
So we've actually known each other for years, bro. We were introduced by a mutual friend, mm-hmm. And then just kept it kind of super professional.
Yeah.
And then, reconnected last year. And honestly, God brought it together, bro.
Gotcha.
So who knows? I might just pop up married soon. Who knows?
Hey, man. I met my wife on Tinder and we was married 6 months later.
Really?
That was...
Wow, that's fly, bro.
Almost 6 years ago.
Wow. I love that for you.
Three kids?
Yeah, doing it.
Absolutely.
I like
that.
So
for those that are... somebody told, well, I think you do need to take your time, okay? First off, don't do what I did. You know what I mean? First and foremost.
But when you know, you know, right?
When you know,
yeah.
For sure. Man, that's absolutely incredible, bro. And I was going to ask, obviously, you're not married yet, but managing the success as a single entrepreneur, successful, people know it.
Yeah.
What's that like?
What's the real question? Like managing the success and like all the things that
come
with it?
No, that is the real question. It's a lot that come with it.
Yeah.
Because you can be distracted by the fact that, wow, I have 1,000 members and all of them ain't ugly.
Facts.
I'm out here. I have the money to do cool stuff.
For sure.
It's a distraction, bro. Sometimes.
Nah, that's a good question, man. So for me, when I was in my mid-20s and then even toward my late 20s, I got distracted. You know what I'm saying? Like I was running around and like all the attention was great and this and that. And like you said, you got the money to be able to create cool experiences. Mm-hmm. And one of the things for me, bro, is I really had to just give it all up to God and allow God to really work on me. Because what you learn, you know, I think John C. Maxwell says, he says, yo, no business can ever be more successful than the personal level of leadership than the actual entrepreneur, right?
Right.
And as we were going to higher heights, I recognized in myself that like, yo, like the person you are right now is not the person that can steward $100 million business.
Yeah.
So you got to start there, mm-hmm. you know, and some of those real things to work through look like changing my lifestyle, you know. So for me, man, I thank God for what he's brought me through, because like mm-hmm. for real, God has always had his hand on me. And, you know, the favor of God has always been clear in my life. But I think specifically when I got to a certain level of success, I had to really lean in, because I'm like, yo, especially in the, I'm close to the entertainment industry. Mm-hmm. It's too many trappings out here.
100%.
To not have God, you know, through it. And I don't know how people who don't have that sort of connection do it. Cause I'm like, that seems scary.
Oh yeah. Out here wilding.
So yeah, man, I've gotten to a place, bro, where a lot of the distractions are really because I've reevaluated even what success really is. You know what I'm saying?
How do you define it?
So I'll say what I used to define it as. I used to define success as freedom, mm-hmm. right? And I thought freedom was like the freedom of choice. I could wake up and do whatever I want to do, when I want to do it, with whoever I want to do it with. And over time, bro, like you get, God just shifts that. You know, they say when you get saved, you know, it's like God really changed the desires of your heart. So it's not about this optionality, right, of freedom. Freedom is the lack of these other desires. You know, freedom is wanting what you have. You know, one of my favorite thinkers and entrepreneurs, his name's Naval. You ever heard of Naval?
Mm-mm.
He's amazing, bro. Check him out. I'm gonna send you some stuff after this. But he says, success is a calm mind, a healthy body, and a home full of love. And like, for me, going from freedom was, oh, I want all the money and the success and all that. And then really pivoting it and understanding like, nah, calm mind, healthy body, house full of love. That gives you the real connection you need to actually go get the other things.
Yeah.
You know, seek ye first the kingdom, bro. That's the realest thing ever.
So you just recently kind of came into this faith, because even like when you came today, he's like, hey man, let me pray real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then you prayed. Mm-hmm. And is that something recent, or are you always?
Not so, fortunately for me, man, superpower is, I was actually like raised in the church. I'm a preacher's kid,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? So I was raised in it. I was raised by my grandmother, who's a minister. But as a PK, I think a lot of us experience this thing where we feel sometimes we're like overchurched when we're young. So then I go off to college and
wild out season.
You know what I'm saying? And I did that, bro, through my 20s. I'm like, let me just figure it out for myself. Mm-hmm. And then it was a more recent thing over the last like year and a half. You know, God really, you know, pulled me back, man, mm-hmm. and rededicated my life to Christ. And things really are clicking in such a beautiful way.
Since Your dad then. Has a church?
No. I was raised with my grandmother.
Okay, gotcha. Okay.
My dad, man, and you know, I don't know how much you want to get into this, but like you've been really excited about like the business and what we're doing. But honestly, bro, I think my personal story that even enabled me to then go and build the business is even wilder.
Yeah.
You know, like my father, who, you know, you just mentioned my dad. My father's serving a 30 to 60. You know what I'm saying? So like my pop got booked when I was like 6 or 7 years old. So that's something that I've been navigating. And, you know, between that, bro, and like, you know, my family's really, we come from super humble beginnings. So when I think about how people see me now, right, you know, multi-million-dollar business I've built and Forbes 30 under 30 and published author who sold thousands of books and this and that, all that stuff is cool. But like, it's important for people to know that I'm not some silver spoon guy who, you know, I come from a family of business owners. Like, again, my father's serving a 30 to 60 right now. Mm. You know, last April was 26 years.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
You talk to him?
Oh, yeah, that's my guy. You know, and that's God doing that healing work, you know? But yeah, now that's my guy, bro. We talk multiple times a week.
Healing him or you?
Both, but mostly me. Mostly me. You know,
you were angry at him?
Super angry. Super, you know, angry, disappointed. What was more important than being in my life that you, yada, yada, yada. But then you have to understand, like, my pops had me at, he was a kid. I think I was conceived. He was like 16.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
In Philly.
Yeah. You know, I was born in 91. So like that late 80s, early 90s, sure. Right? So there's that. My mom battled a drug addiction almost her entire life, you know, for the most part. Who just passed last year, what I'm saying? But navigating that, growing up without either of my parents, right? Watching my uncle be murdered at 16 years old, like there's been a lot of really challenging things that I know a lot of kids in Philly go through and a lot of cities, you know, go through. So for me to become who I've become, bro, is really like I'm living proof that God is real and that anything is possible, you know?
Your mother... And I lost my mom. This is my mom right here. I lost my mom a couple of years ago as well. So I understand. You were saying your mother battled a drug addiction.
Yeah, pretty much my entire life for the most part.
Even up until her passing?
Thank God she was in a better space before she passed. But like most of my adult life, all I know is that version of her, unfortunately.
Mm. Did you have a relationship with her?
Yeah. You know, it wasn't anything traditional by any means, but you know, I see her a couple times a year, you know what I'm saying, we talk every now and then, but my grandmother who raised me was really like my mother and my rock. And when I would see my mom, it was just like, yo, let me just show love when I can and make sure she's good.
Mm-hmm.
But fortunately, me and my mom got to really kind of rebuild and have some really important conversations before she passed, which was a blessing.
Your grandmother's still here?
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, that's my OG.
Good. So your mom and dad being able to see this progression of like what you're doing. I know they're like super proud. And,
incredibly.
Yeah.
And honestly, you know, again, what my dad is facing, bro, like for him to have been in prison for the last 26 years, if you were to talk to him on the phone, you would have no idea. Yeah. Like his spirit, bro, is so bright. Like he's excited, you know? And I think a part of that is, and I know this because he shared it with me, but a part of that is because he gets to kind of live through what I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like, we had a real chat one day, man. He was just like, look, if I had to make every decision that I made and do everything the exact same in my life in order for you to be doing exactly what you're doing, he's got to do it all over again in a heartbeat.
Mm.
You know? Because there's a real peace to that. And also he knows that when he gets out, which he will soon, right? We claiming that for in God's name. When he gets home, he's coming home to something that none of them other guys he's running with are coming home to, you know? So it's just like, you know, stay down, keep doing what you're doing.
Is there anything you can do about, because I mean, once you start doing something amazing, you have, you know, different resources and different connections. Have you ever gone down the path of trying to figure out, you know, if we can get some sort of early release or?
That's something that we're working on now.
Good.
Yeah, we're working on that good. Now, bro. And you already know. You're already telling me, you know, all the great things we're doing now. But when I get my father home, bro.
Yeah.
Superpower.
It's up.
I'm turning into a Super Saiyan. You know what I mean?
Man. Yeah, that's proud, bro. I'm proud of how you've been able to even kind of forgive. And, you know, he was a kid, so.
Very
but
much
as
so.
A kid, you're selfish.
Yeah.
And you're like, I want.
For sure.
And even to make it out of that environment, who you've made it out to become, is an incredible story for anybody that's coming from an inner city.
Yeah, man.
Because you didn't have your mom or your dad, but you had, you know what I mean? It's one thing to not have them at all.
Right.
But it's another thing to have them and kind of see your mom in the way that she was for a long time, your dad where he is.
Yeah.
There's a lot of reason to not do the right thing.
For sure.
It's almost like I would rather not see it.
Sure.
My parents, you know what I mean?
And that's a combo he and I had too, because he's like, look, like if he was still out, you know, in the street when I was coming up and I was 12 and 13 as a kid, you looking at your dad as a superhero.
100%.
So I would have easily just took this intellect that you see me having now and just applied it to whatever I thought he was doing, you know?
Yeah.
So there's a blessing in that too, you know? But I think the most important thing though for people to really think about is just like the power of environment, you know? And I think for anyone who aspires to do great things, there's something really important about putting yourself in the environment for those things to happen. You know, that's something that my grandmother taught me since I was a kid. Like, if you want to see something happen, you have to create the environment for it to be possible.
Yeah.
And like, for example, like you're a sports fan. Okay. So I'm not the biggest sports fan, but one of the things I know about the NBA is they say something like 80% of the NBA championships that were ever won were won by the same five teams, right? The Bulls, the Celtics, the Lakers, right? The Warriors, teams like that. And I don't think it's just because of like certain players, but I think it's because of the cultures of the locker rooms
100%.
Create a winning mindset, a winning mentality that then goes off to create championships. So for me, man, I'm really grateful that like my grandmother, you know, worked in every way that she could to create the environment for me to be successful. She saw it when I was a kid, bro. When we was in Germantown, you know, I was growing up. She was like, yo, if I can get this kid off this block, he's going to go on to do great things, right? 25 years later or 30 years later, here we are. And for me, I think my way of living has really just been paying forward that environment she created for me. You know, she, you know, preached education and did what I could to have the resources. I'm really just doing that for rec members now.
Yeah.
Right. And creating these environments because I know what happens on the other side of having access to what you need when you need it, but also like the energy of the space.
For sure. So. Yo, one, so I went to Philly and I asked Will, I said, bro, what you built is so incredible. And I think what other entrepreneurs and creators need to understand is how to build community.
Yeah.
And you've done that better than 90% of the people that I know.
Thanks,
and so I want to say thank you because you did say you'd come to Podcast Summit and teach all that kind of stuff. Man, I'm so ecstatic.
I'm looking forward to
it. You're going
to
be there, bro.
Yeah.
Like, because that's something, how to record content, things of that nature.
Yeah.
There's a lot of information out there.
Yep.
But how to truly build a community. There's not many people. One, there's not many people that have built it.
Yeah.
Two, there's not many people that even teach it, you know, even off theory. Like there's some people that teach how to build a community off theory. They've never built it. But the fact that you've built a community, monetized it heavily, you have people that rave about you. So it's not even transactional. They look at you like, yo, you are the creator savior almost, right? That might be the title of this video.
That's crazy.
Creator Savior.
That's crazy, Dave.
And that was a freestyle off the top of the dome. That was good. But I like, there's not many people that are even qualified to teach this, man. So I appreciate you coming to the podcast.
I'm looking forward to it, bro. And look, man, I'm an open book, so I'm going to give all the game, you know.
Sir.
And I think one of the reasons why I can do that so well is because I've made all the mistakes, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this has not been some perfect journey. So I really know what it looks like to really, you know, go deep and really be thoughtful. You know, and how to get it right. So,
thank you, my brother. Yeah. Last question. I want to know what you see yourself accomplishing in the next 5 years. And the reason I'm asking is because I want to be able to come back to this video 5 years from today
yeah.
and say, yo, Will said he was going to do that on the Social Proof podcast 5 years ago. And look,
that's he's hard. Doing it. 5 years from now, you know, God willing, I believe, you know, Rec is going to be in, you know, multiple cities around the country. You know, we will have built the community to, you know, 5 years, probably 100,000 members at that point. I feel like we're really.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hitting our stride right now, God, and this thing is gonna really take off. And then also
100,000 members.
Yeah, and I'm telling you right now, we're around 1,000 right now. But I believe that the work that God has been doing in me and in our team over these last year, it's really been setting us up to go from being what I think is the best kept secret to like, oh, this just makes sense.
Yeah,
you know, so 100,000 members. Multiple cities around the country. And also, God willing, 5 years from now, I'd also like to be in a position where, you know, I can also be an angel investor to help support other founders to mm-hmm. help them get where they're going a little bit faster.
I love it. Yeah. How many clubs you think? 5 years.
In 5 years? 5 years, I think conservatively, I'd probably say about five, you know, because we've learned so much about our expansion model, which we can talk about more off camera, but yeah, I think we're ready to move much faster, learning what we've learned. So yeah, I'd say five.
That's lit. Yo, thank you so much, man, for coming by. This has been, I don't know about for them, but like an educational experience for me.
Sure.
And I can't wait to cut this camera off so I can ask you about my own personal life and what I got going on.
Do you mind if I shout some stuff out really?
And
I just have to, you know, shout out my whole Rec squad, man. Mm-hmm. I have a team, man, who works incredibly hard to make this whole thing possible. So to my co-founder, Dave, to Chenille, our marketing director, and to the whole squad, for real. You know, they're really the MVPs. But then also, you know, for creatives who are watching this, who are like, yo, I aspire to do something similar. I do have a coaching program that I started specifically to just pour into creatives who are looking to scale up. So for anyone who's interested in that, joinrec.com/coaching, and they can get a bunch of information for what that looks like. And really, I just get a game, man, because, you know, God has been really, you know, working in my life. So I think it's only right to pay that forward. And then also, I have a book that I just want to talk about for a second.
Yeah.
I got an opportunity to publish a book for anyone who is passionate about something and they're trying to figure out how to turn it into a profitable business. It's called Uncommon Sense, Your Strategy Guide to Creative Freedom. And 10 chapters, just straightforward. What does it look like? You know, think about things like branding, marketing, you know, building your target audience, revenue streams. You know, how do I go on to then scale that up, protect my intellectual property? It's for real, all of the things I wish every creative knew and understood, but too often we don't.
Yeah.
So that's available. You can go and grab that, shop.recphilly.com. It's also on Amazon. Buy it from us directly, because it's way better.
For sure.
But yeah, just wanted to put that out there. And then, you know, follow Rec Philly on Instagram. And then if you want to stay tuned to my personal journey, I'm at the Will Toms, T-H-E, Will, My last name, Toms, T-O-M-S.
Man, I appreciate you, my brother. Thank you so much for dropping by. Listen, y'all, this is one that needs to be shared with all creators, okay?
That part.
This needs to be shared, man. This story is incredible. This brother is brilliant.
Thank you, brother.
I'm sitting here learning from him for sure, and hopefully you'll be able to mentor me in certain areas. And I think we have some collaboration things that we can really work on, bro. So
let's do it.
Make sure y'all do me a favor, okay? Go follow Will Toms, okay? If you are in the Northeast area, join Rec Philly. If you look, nice. I think it's almost cheaper to get a membership and fly to Philly once a month to create all your content.
You might be right.
I mean, with the flight, couple $100,
yep.
$100 membership,
yep.
You get 8 hours in a studio.
That's right.
The math is mathing for me right now. So make sure y'all join. Check out Rec Philly. I don't know when you're watching this, but you could be watching. Rec Miami will be open. Yep. Rec Atlanta, let's Rec go. New York, Rec LA,
Nashville.
All the Recs, Philly, not Philly, but Dallas, Houston. I'm sure right. It's Recs everywhere. Looking forward to that Rec Toronto too, man.
Me too.
Come on, let's go. Make sure y'all check them out, okay? And then do yourself a favor, man. Go get you some social proof. Mm. Go build something really, really big. But it is your responsibility to come back to your community and teach them how you did it. It's the only way our community grows. All right, we are out of here. Peace. Great job, Will.
That was dope. Thank you, man.
Goodness gracious.
Really appreciate it, bro.
If you like the video that you just watched, click this one. You're gonna like this one, maybe even more. Click it right now.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.